Chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to look at six words in English, four words in Greek. And I want to avoid what was said of the great Puritan theologian John Owens. A woman said of him, "He spent so long setting the table that I wasn't hungry once I got to the table." But we're going to deal with you just can't read it with your Sunday school knowledge, because you'll get really confused. It does require a little bit of thought. Matthew 10, let's all stand. We read in verse 1. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And the name of the 12 apostles," now he's transferring from someone who's being taught, trained, and a follower, a disciple, to that person who's now being sent out. In one sense, every Christian is sent out, but we're not official apostles, not in the sense of being an apostle of Christ. A couple of times it mentions apostles of churches, meaning a messenger of the church, but these were men that officially were to represent the Lord Jesus. For time, we're going to skip the names. Verse 5. And I want you to see what slaps you in the face. If it doesn't slap you in the face, you're not reading. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles." Does that bother you? Since the rest of the New Testament is saying go into all the world, it's a little different, isn't it? "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So this is a very specific command. Now you say, why do you bring this up? Because when you read this chapter, you realize it's written to a very specific group of people called the apostles. And folks, I'm going to take a concept out of here. I think there's two or three others we can, but much of this is not what the Lord wants us to do today. This was written to a specific group, the apostles, for a very specific time. Look at me, very specific. Not for any other time other than right then. It was before the church age began and before God was calling out of all the Gentiles a people for his name. It was before the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension and giving of the Holy Spirit and the forming of the body of Christ. This is a unique time. It actually was before the Jewish people officially rejected Christ in Matthew 12, which we find all through the book of Acts, where they continually, officially, not as individuals, individuals still get saved. Paul says, "I'm saved." The apostles were Jewish. But as a group, and officially, they said, "No, thank you." This was earlier than that. By the way, this only fits into one historical slot. It's when Jesus says, "I want you to go into all of Israel. I want you to talk about the coming kingdom. I want you to talk about the king, the Messiah, that's him. I want you to do these things." And by the way, they weren't going to respond well. This is a very specific, for a specific group. It's at a specific time and for a very specific purpose. For Israel and Israel alone. About the king and the kingdom, about the Messiah, the gospel of the kingdom. Will they all believe? Well, the answer is we know they did not. And because of that, in some fashion, God set aside Israel, the kingdom that we were looking for all through the Old Testament, from our perspective, is postponed, not from God's. And we enter in Matthew 13 into what's called a different form of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom. Very different. That is setting the table. That's all the table I'm setting this morning. Look, if you would, to verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Here is the six verses we're going to focus on, because these have implications for the rest of the New Testament. Freely ye have received. Freely give. By the way, four words in Greek. Freely ye have received. Freely give. Then he says, which is contrary to other teaching, but not for this specific occasion. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, meaning a bag for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. Here's another concept, though, that is taught in the rest of the New Testament. The workman or the laborer is worthy of his meat or food. That will be taught much, much more later. Let's continue reading. I just want to give you the flow of the context. Look down at verse, all the way down to verse 25. This kind of puts this in perspective of this all is to take place at a very unique period of time. He says, let's see here, where is it at? Is it verse 25 or verse 20? It's verse 23, excuse me. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another, for verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Friends, this is a very unique commission. It's not the Great Commission. It's a commission to the apostles for this period of time. In another time and setting, we'll talk about this more. This morning, I'm just going to speak on those six English words. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm not talking about money this morning, so all of you that are nervous about money, but look at me. I am going to talk about missions. I believe you will find when we get to the end of the sermon, this concept stuck with God's people. You know what's sad? Sometimes we can hear the Word of God and 30 seconds later we have no idea what we heard. This concept, four Greek words, six in the King James. Freely ye have received, or we could say freely you received, freely give. And all I'm going to talk about this morning is this. Are you ready? What we do here and here. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessings now on this time. May you bless, may you help, may you encourage. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Was it 3 years ago? 4 years ago? I used to remember time. COVID has confused me. Jenny and I flew to the American Southwest to take our summer vacation together. We flew into the great state of New Mexico. We flew into Albuquerque. And I had done something that I hadn't done before. Most of you know I drive a gas-guzzling car, a Prius. My wife drives a Corolla hybrid. It gets better gas mileage than my Prius does, which I'm jealous. I thought to myself when we went there, we're going to be in the mountains, and we were going to some really good mountains. I said, I don't want to be, can you imagine my Prius in the mountains? I don't want a small car. I don't even want a small, what they call SUV, which is the same size as my car, but it has SUV on the back. I wanted some kind of a mid-grade SUV, something in between. How would I say this in Toyota speak? I don't want a RAV4, but I don't want a Sequoia. I wanted one of those in between, something in between. So I put it, you know, I got whoever we rented from, they said fine. They had me saved a mid-level SUV. Well, we get to Albuquerque, we get off, you know the routine, you go through all the nonsense, but that time you're tired, some people are cranky. One of the two of us were cranky, you can figure out which one. We're looking for the car, we get to the place, the guy talks to us, takes all of our information, he says, I'm happy to inform you, we're going to upgrade your car. Wow, upgrade. That's happened twice in my lifetime. Ralph, how many years have you been married? It happened on our 20th anniversary. We were upgraded on the way. We got first class going to Europe for our anniversary. This was the second time I've ever been upgraded. They upgraded me in a car. So I didn't know what it was. They said, you're going to drive a bigger SUV. We go out there. You got your clicker. You drive out there. You walk out to where the cars are. They put us in a Lincoln Navigator. I don't know if that's an upgrade or not. I don't really know how many grades that is. First thing, when I saw the car, I thought, you know, you could put my Prius in the trunk. You could put her, she didn't have it then, you could put her car in the back seat. I still remember getting, first thing when I got in it, you don't step down, man. You have to climb a ladder to get in it. I got in it and everything was high tech. No joke, I couldn't figure out how to shift. It had a little knob. You just turned it, and I'm like, there wasn't enough room to open the doors and stuff, so I'm going to back it out. So I back it out into the space, and I'm trying to figure this thing out. And if you've been in these cars, I mean, come on, my Prius has a little handle. If you pull the handle, it goes back. If you pull it, you know, and it'll move forward. This thing here had like 12 buttons. You know, there's one button that lifts you up, one lifts back. It was doing all kinds. It took me 10 minutes to figure out how to get in the car. Then it was time to put the suitcases in. I get in the back. I know how to put, come on. You know, this had three rows. So it had the front, it had the middle, and then it had the back. And I wanted to lean the back seats down so we could put the suitcases in easily. I get in there, and I can't find the little doodads to pull. I'm looking for things to pull. I'm looking for buttons to push. And there's somebody behind me, not happy, because I'm parked in the middle of the road. You say, how did you figure it out? On the side, there was a little button, and it just and lowers the seat for you. You say, why do you tell me that dumb story? Hear me, friend. They upgraded us to this monster, but they didn't give us an upgrade oil well to pay for the gas. Do you know it? Look at me. For all of you that have no idea where I'm going, you have to have fuel to run your engine. My car, I get gas once a month. This car here, I got once a month too. It came due every day. And if you drove a long distance, you could get gas twice in a day. You needed fuel. I want you to look back at that beautiful text. It's in verse 8. It's freely ye have received. Freely what? Friends, to me, at the heart of missions, at the essence of missions, and oh, wait a minute, I'm not talking about you going to Papua New Guinea. Look at me. I'm not talking about any goofball stuff. I'm not talking religion. I'm talking the moment you get saved, in some fashion, you're part of missions. You were reached by people that had been missionaries. Or there was mission workers. I mean, everybody somewhere comes from missions. I can root back in southwestern Illinois, my family with John Mason Peck in the early 1800s. Certainly, I can see that. Everybody comes from it. So what do we do with it? Well, you see, there has to be this idea that we receive. And what we receive, we have to do something with that, and then we give. Yes, it's money. Yes, it's time. Yes, it's effort. But it's a whole lot more than that. I'm going to just focus really on three words that explain it. Number one is receiving. Number one is receiving. And not only receiving, this text says we receive and give freely. Freely. That word is only found 9 times in the New Testament. So hold your hand here in your Bibles. I'm going to just walk through the scripture. I want you to read with me so you see the references. There's not a lot we're going to look at. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, please. Romans 3, verse 23. 24. Romans 3, 24. Receiving freely. There's something about, and as we walk through this, it seems like the apostles grabbed and grasped the idea that they were recipients, that they had received freely. And it's going to consume their whole ministries and frankly, it ought to consume all of us. Receiving freely. Romans 3:24, being justified, here's that word, freely. You say, what have you received? My friend, if you have been saved, if you have been declared righteous because of Jesus Christ, from our side of the equation, you have been justified freely. Wasn't free for him, but it was free for us. It was done freely. You know, there's no strings attached. You don't do anything to get it. You have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It wasn't free on his side, but he freely gives it to us. So receiving. 2 Corinthians 11, please. 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to just look at four verses. And two of them are close together. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7. Paul is, of course, always in a dogfight in the book of Corinthians. He's always having difficulties. In verse 7, it says this. 2 Corinthians 11, 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached to you the gospel of God freely? Same word again. Doreon, he is again focusing on when he preached, where did he learn this from? Because he had received. In the very nature of receiving freely is going to have consequences the other direction. We have freely received of God's goodness, God's blessings, God's mercy, God's grace, the redemption in Christ. We received it freely. Revelation, please. Last book of the New Testament, Revelation 21, verse 6. Revelation 21 and verse 6. It says this, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. My friend, it's receiving freely. Missions at its heartbeat is recognizing that we have received something and we have done so freely. It's not like we have to pay a little bit, work a little bit, do a little bit. It's we receive it freely. And that's the reason Paul talked about being justified freely. Of course, chapter 22, verse 17. Paul, Jesus says to his disciples, and this phrase is going to resonate throughout the scripture, freely you have received, freely give. But it starts with the receiving, Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life, what? Freely. Freely. You see, friends, this is all a gift. It's given freely. It's from someone who owes us nothing, but they freely give to us. It's given to us who do not deserve and who cannot afford, but we're always receiving. We're on the receiving end of God's goodness and blessing. So the first concept is the receiving, receiving freely. Friday night, Cliffy was going to take Judah out for their anniversary. And the plane was late how many times? What time did you get home? And you were supposed to be out to eat at what time? So you missed your meal. But on Saturday, Cliffy, hold on. He took Judah out to Fogo de Chao. Did he buy you flowers? Well, it wasn't that much of a, wasn't that freely given. Clippy, come on. He gave you something. I know what he gave. By the way, I know exactly what he gave her. They went to Fogo de Chao. They had a wonderful meal. And at the end of the meal, he gave her the ticket to pay. No, of course not. You better have paid. By the way, here, Cliffy. Let me salute you, brother. Always good to be sweet to your wife. By the way, can I ask you a question? Did he give something to his wife? But may I say something? That's two equal people that love each other, that in some ways owe each other. Why does God give something to you exactly? You see, friends, there's something about this, and I think our problem is we think as a person, well, if I do something for so-and-so, so-and-so will do something for me. Why? What exactly does God get from us? He truly, freely, you have received. Freely give. For reasons that cannot really be explained. My wife said because he loved us, but I agree with her. But there's only one problem. You haven't answered the question. You've just kicked it back one notch. Why does he love you? Because you're so lovable. Well, there are two or three people in this church that think they're lovable. You do realize God knows you and he knows me. By the way, he loves us for reasons that are frankly unknown to me. But he does. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 17. I keep turning back here because this text helps me so much. You see, when I'm talking about receiving, I'm not even just talking about salvation, which is unbelievable. I'm not just talking about God's gifts that he gives to us over and over and over. That obviously is wonderful. But he gives us much more than that. Acts 17, when Paul is speaking to, frankly, people who are pagans, in verse 24, because of time, we'll just start in verse 24, he starts to explain who is God. He says, God that made the world in all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands. But here's where a lot of even Christians go astray. As though he needeth anything. It's almost like I'll go to church if I feel really, really, really guilty. And I'll do God a favor. Do you understand? He doesn't need anything. God is in of himself. The triune God is self-contained with a love that existed. Well, you can't really use time with it. So it isn't like God saying, I'm so needy, I just can't do without you. Well, actually, yes, he can. Wait a minute, but you can't do without him. That's what it's going to say. Verse 25, seeing he gives or giveth to all, everyone, life, breath, and all things. And he hath made, and we don't have time to, I'm just going to read it. I love verse 26. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. My friend, mission starts in a real sense with you and I recognizing that in a fundamental sense, everything we have and are and ever hope to be, we have received. We not only once, but we are receiving constantly, and we're constantly receiving freely. And without that constant supply of God's goodness, grace, mercy, we wouldn't be saved, but we wouldn't exist. Several years back, my wife and I, on our summer vacation, I see Sonia over here. Where'd Sonia go? Hi, sister. We went down, we saw some of your relatives in Belize. We saw some of your husband's relatives, and we went to Belize and visited a lot with some of her husband's relatives. People that we really got to like and enjoy. We've actually spent another vacation with them in the United States, believe it or not, in Mexico. Lovely people. Well, during that trip, they live right on the border of Guatemala. In Guatemala, if you've ever met someone from Guatemala, they have a national patrimony called Tikal. People in Guatemala have no idea where it's at. Everybody knows it because it's like they have one of the great Maya cities from ancient history in the world. It's fabulous. I wanted to go visit it. We'd never been there. So we went with Jenny and I and Adit and Neri. Why can't I remember Neri's name? The four of us went across the border. I think the daughters went too, I think. We went across the border, went into Guatemala. We stayed in a place in Tikal. Now, folks, here's the problem. The roads are wonderful. It had been much better for us to stay in a city, but the city is an hour to 2 hours away. So do you want to go to this site, drive a couple of hours to get there, you know, in a couple of, it's just, so you can stay on site. And the places are nice. Includes a meal, it's a nice place, but they forget to tell you something. About 6 p.m. at night, you don't have electricity. Now, you say, why would you need electricity? Because it's like 99% humidity. And it's dripping off of you. And you say, don't you like it when it's like that? No. I don't mind getting hot. I like it cool at night when I'm trying to sleep. So we went there. We stayed at the place. I don't think I knew that you didn't have electricity after a certain time. And the next day, we're finally going to Tikal. Have one of these? I have the latest and greatest iPhone 8 or 6, whatever it is. I have a battery pack around it. I still remember we went to the place. We were getting ready to go to sleep. I looked at my phone. By the way, you can't use the phone in Belize or Guatemala, so you just have it on, you know, you have it on airplane mode. It doesn't run any battery down. I had 75% of the battery of my phone, and the battery backup's 120%. I thought, well, I'll charge it up because tomorrow I'm going to the greatest Maya city in Guatemala. Plugged it in. She and I went to bed. Woke up the next morning, unplugged it, happy as could be. Took a shower, went up and ate, and we went to Tikal. I couldn't wait. Walked into Tikal. Had my camera, took a picture, took another picture, and the screen went black. Just like it just did. I did not know when they turn the electricity off, if you leave your camera, you leave your phone backed up, it sucks all of the electricity out of your phone and your backup, and it takes it to heaven or wherever electricity goes. So friends, I have zero pictures of the greatest place on earth because, look at me, I have no fuel. Can I say this to all of you kindly? Freely ye have what? Do you understand that? I'm going to go beyond that now. I don't want to yell. I don't want to scream. Here's our problem. I'm not sure some of us think it's really something we have received. I think sometimes we have this idea that maybe in some strange way, I deserve all of what I have. I'll even hear people say this, I worked hard. Well, let me just inform you. When you're wired up like I was in March, and you're in the hospital for the second time, look me in the eyes, and you feel like a truck ran over you, and if you want to know how bad it was, I could not read for nearly 3 weeks. My wife will tell you that means I'm close to death. Say, did you watch television? Are you really kidding me? Friends, I was in a hospital bed, and you start to recognize freely you have received. You say, what have you received freely? Everything you can think of. Every piece of it. And it's freely given. By the way, Cliffy did a wonderful thing taking his lovely wife out for a nice meal. That's what a husband ought to do for his wife. But this is beyond that. This is our Heavenly Father freely giving us all things, people who are unworthy and ungrateful, frankly. I want you to look back at Matthew chapter 10, please, would you? Matthew 10 and verse 8. All I'm going to do is talk about these two verses and connect them to other texts. This is more of a textual sermon, but I think I have to deal with it because I actually think this idea caught on in the New Testament. I think it becomes one of those principles they live and die by. So again, what's the text say? Matthew 10, verse 8. Freely you have received. Freely give. Could also be translated simpler. Freely you received, freely give. I mean, it's a very simple concept. You have received. Now, what do you do with it at that point? Freely you have received. Well, the second stage is something that's not mentioned in the text, but it is absolutely essential to do. And for all of you that are listening, I can't do this for you. Please look up here. There's something I can never do for a person. I cannot form a habit in your life. You will have to determine, but there's a stage that's not mentioned. But when we go to the third stage and we read the apostles in Acts and in their books, you're going to realize somehow this became a central idea that evidently they had to revisit. So how I'm going to say it is this way. Receiving freely, there has to be a piece in the middle of acknowledging. There has to be somehow we set apart time, dates, places to acknowledge what we have received. It has to be built into us where it's just a natural. Have you ever met a Christian that's always depressed? I can already tell you what the problem is. Number one, they think about themselves 24/7. And number two, they have not developed a place and time where, look at me, where they kind of recenter life. And they say, stop, be still, know that I am God. Or how about this? Stop, be still, and acknowledge what God has given you. So it's not enough just to receive it. We all receive. Our problem is we don't acknowledge to God and to ourselves everything we have received. Andrew Swift died how many weeks ago? 36 years old. Please look at me in the eyes. He died because he couldn't breathe. So if you think you breathe because you're special, it's God Himself that gives you the ability to breathe. It's God Himself that gives your body the ability. Friends, if you ever studied any element of medicine, the thing that overwhelms your mind after a while, it's like, oh my goodness, the intricacies of the human body and the uncounted things that can go wrong. In some reason, God gives all of these, puts these in place. The acknowledging, where you make it your own. Freely ye have received, freely give. So this is not stated. It simply requires the rhythms of life. Or we could say the rituals of life. Or the rites. Or we could use this terminology, the anniversaries. Or those symbolic actions. Are the days of remembrance, are the moments to stop, turn it off, remember, acknowledge, think, be still. Friends, I don't care how you do it. If you don't do it, me telling you that you receive everything is nice, wonderful, Pastor Warren, what's for lunch? But the moment you say, oh, I got to make that mine, that has to be mine. And when it becomes yours, when you do the acknowledging part and you establish routines of doing this, oh my goodness, it's transformative. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Certain factors were built in to my life as a kid. They were built into my life, doesn't make me a better person. By the way, look at me, doesn't make me a better person. But it's weird to me when I talk to people, they know nothing about their family or their parents or their grand. Somewhere along the line, the things that were built into my family weren't built in, i.e., from youngest youth, I knew Dad was in World War II. From youngest youth, I knew the stories of Korea. The biggest stories of Korea was this. My dad looked at my mother before he went to Korea. He had a newborn baby, my older sister, and he said, I will be back no matter what. Folks, look here. If you want to know the bulldozer I am, it goes back to my dad. Because when he was behind enemy lines for 26 days, what kept him alive was he had a wife and a baby at home. How do I know that? He was part of the life. He was part of the rituals of life. How do I know about family members? It was part of our life. It was part of our conversation. I knew that my uncles, two had fought in the Bulge. One had fought and died in Leyte. Didn't know where he died as a kid. I knew that Dad's older brother had been in Okinawa. I knew his younger brother had been in the Pusan perimeter in Korea. It was part of who I was. And this is what I find. Some of us don't have... We're chaotic. If I could say this to most people, we're chaotic and we're emotional, and neither one helps us. We have no way of reining in and being still. And you've got to develop your own ways of doing that. We have them built into the church. The day of the resurrection, it's called Sunday. We come together to worship Him. We come together in some part of the service to remember that Christ was crucified for us, buried and rose again. It's built in. We have Christmas to remember His incarnation. We have Easter to remember His resurrection. We have a Thanksgiving time to give thanks to God. We have the Lord's Supper to remember His broken body and His shed blood. We have baptism right here to remember His death, burial, and resurrection. We have these ideas built in. I asked somebody here, and I was angry, I confess, what was my sermon last Sunday morning? Talking about fear. Here's our problem. We don't know how to build into our life. It's not enough for you to say, yep, everything comes from God. You have to build in these things in your life because they're what gives you fuel to move forward. Otherwise, your life starts becoming more and more about how happy you are and how depressed you are and about who doesn't like you and who hasn't spoken to you. Oh, God, help us. Folks, we're going to move on to the third point. You read the rest of the New Testament, you're going to find believers that the thing that grabs them is this. They have received everything freely. Somehow, that had become part of them. You can do that through certain rhythms. Once a week, we do Sunday morning. That's the big day. But we can do our own rhythms. You can do it daily. When you get out of bed in the morning, you can begin the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Or you can say this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength. You can begin with God. Not with your emotions, not with your chaos, not with your bouncing around. You have to be able to look at me, to draw yourself in and down and be still internally and acknowledge the goodness and grace of God. Because it just keeps coming and coming. My last time to the Philippines, which I can't believe. I so much wanted to go this year. I went to the island of Leyte to teach for the first time. I went to the famous city. Bye-bye. How do you come up with a city called Bye-bye? I don't know. I don't even know what it means. It probably doesn't mean bye-bye, but it looks like bye-bye. I'm teaching there at the end of my days. We have to then, by the way, volcanic, all the islands of the Philippines are that way. So you got the island of Leyte, it's long, it's kind of like this. And to get from one side to the other, you don't. You have to go way north and go around because you go through the mountains. So I'm way over here on the south, what side is it? It's on the southwest side, and I got to get over to Cloban, which is on the east side. And He said, well, we have to get up early tomorrow. I said, what time? He said, 3. It's like, folks, nothing good happens at 3 a.m. Only bad people come out at 3 a.m. 3. So I got up at 3. I'm very happy. You say, does coffee? Nothing wakes me up at 3 a.m. Come on. I'm 3 a.m. We go. And then he says, the men got together last night. Pastor Dodo, he is from actually that part. He is from that area. And he said the pastors got together and they had gotten products from all over the island of Leyte. And they want you to take them home. You know, certain things only made on Leyte. You know the two of them I showed you. You guys have something similar in Cebu. Desserts, all kinds of stuff. Now, no joke. Folks, have you been on a plane in the Philippines? When you go out of Tacloban, you're in one of these things, that, what it looked like, but there's 60 people in there, and you're hoping that thing gets off the ground. I always like it because when I get on, this is the first thing you have to do. You know, it's not comfortable walking like that down a plane. That's how you walk on. I have a suitcase. I have my briefcase. They charge you money for the suitcase. They don't charge you money for the briefcase, so I overload it. And they bring me, they're going to bring me some stuff. And I say, oh, that's, my first thought is, praise the Lord. My second thought is when they bring it, it's bigger than my suitcase. And I'm thinking, I can't bring that. Folks, I can't bring it on the plane. There's no place to put it. It's in a huge woven bag, and it's no joke, up to my waist. And I'm like, what am I going to do with that? You say, Pastor, why are you telling me this? Do you know why? God does that to you every single day of your life. And when's the last time you spent 30 seconds acknowledging what God's given you? My mother-in-law is now on Eliquist. You say, what's Eliquist do? Something about with clotting, I think. By the way, folks, do you realize that God gives you every piece of life, breath, of existence? He gives you salvation. There's got to be ways you acknowledge the goodness and grace of God. Otherwise, your whole life becomes about you, and you live like a pagan while calling yourself a Christian. Or you develop with your life daily, weekly, monthly, seasonally, special times, yearly times, where you focus and say, freely I have received. How much? That bag that they gave me in Leyte, by the way, Dada, you know what I did with it? We sent it to your brother. There was a way they could send it up there on a boat and get it for like $5. If I took it on the plane, it was like $75. So we sent it up, and I gave most of it to Ari and your sister-in-law. Wow. Too much. God gives us too much. Well, we come to the last idea. Look with me, if you would, back at Matthew 10 and verse 3. And friends, I'm sorry, we're going to look at a lot of passages very quickly. Hey, look at me. I told you something. You're going to see something for the first time. It's nothing deep. You're going to see this captured the apostles. The idea of, I have received freely. I must give freely. It says in verse 8, freely you have received. Freely give. And it became instinctive. It became automatic. Acts chapter 3, everybody. Acts chapter 3. You don't always have the word freely, but you do have that word to give freely, that word didomi, the Greek, one of the main Greek words for giving. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And by the way, what I want you to see, everybody look at me. I want to finish my illustration. Here's our life. I would prefer to illustrate it this way. Our life is this. We are receiving. We must acknowledge. There has to be that acknowledging in order for there to be that giving. And it is just like that. Look at me. If you don't have the middle part, it all falls apart. For instance, this week, our electricity went out. Are you listening? But my electricity at home was fine. I didn't have any problems. where the electricity doesn't come on, but there was a problem in the middle. The problem is we freely receive. We should be able to freely give, but there's a problem with the acknowledging. Let's look at Acts 3, verse 1, quickly, please. Verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. And when they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. That's what they did. Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have," what? Look at me, friend. Do you understand what's being done? Look at me. They're doing exactly what Jesus said, but they're not saying, "Wait a minute, I heard Pastor Warren 37 years ago preach on freely you have received, freely give." Oh, no, this was who he was. Didn't have to pray about it. I have freely received. I know I have freely received. That's the acknowledging, and it's just automatic. Look at me. There are people in this room and in our church broadly. Some of them aren't even here today for various reasons. If I ask something of them, it is done right then. There are other people, I would have to go through the great tribulation to get them awake, and then I would have to go through the greater tribulation to get them to do something because it's not instinctive. I think Peter at this place, this was his life. I've spent my life receiving, acknowledging God's grace and goodness, and guess what? It's just instinctive. I give. That's missions. All right, Acts chapter 20, please. Acts chapter 20. Verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Paul is speaking, of course, to the elders, the pastors, the overseers at the city, in the city of Ephesus. And he is leaving, and he says in verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." He says, and then he says this, really weird. You know, he says, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea," or yes, "ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." Verse 35, "And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, friends, that's not an exact quote, but I think that's the exact idea. I think Paul, which did not walk with Jesus, heard the other apostles, look up here, talking about Jesus saying, "Freely you have received, receiving freely, acknowledging, giving freely." So in Paul's mind, he says, Jesus talked about this. Guess what you do? You receive everything freely. You acknowledge all comes from God freely, and you give freely. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have about four more texts to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Are you catching on to the simple concept? Look at me. You get the simplicity. I'm receiving how much? Everything freely. But listen, if you don't do the acknowledging, everything I've said this morning is words. You will have to develop in your life ways, personal ways, family ways of acknowledging I'm receiving everything freely. You will have to. We do it in the church. Because of Sunday, the Lord's Day, we do it at Easter, we do it at Christmas, we do it at Thanksgiving, we do it through baptism, we do it through the Lord's Supper, we do it through Thanksgiving, we do it various ways. But friend, on a personal level, what's going to happen is you're going to receive and receive and receive and receive and receive and receive, but there's a piece missing and the electricity never gets to the house because you don't stop thinking about yourself and be still and think about receiving. Peter, he didn't have to pray, didn't have to fast. He said, you know what? Whatever I have, I give you. Freely you have received, freely give. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Not talking about money either. Chapter 9, verse 15. This verse, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. Verse 17. Friends, may I say this to you? I grew up in a family. Now I'm on the other end. To this day, if I see a woman that's anywhere, I won't say that, but I mean, it used to be instinctive. It's different when you get older. But I was grilled as a young child that, number one, you always addressed older women as Mrs. and older men as Mr. I never called Mr. Smith Floyd. You say, why? I'm afraid my mother would look me up and put, what is that nasty stuff, that soap? Thank you. He must have experienced some of this. Lava soap in your mouth. You say, what's lava soap? I don't know. It tastes like it has sand, and it's nasty tasting. And you say, how many times was it in your mouth? I think twice. That was enough. But here's a rule. Look at me. It's not something mom had to say, Ralph! After about the second or third time, it is so instinctive for me to be polite. If a woman needs a seat, to give a woman a seat, to stand up for an older. If I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't be alive. You know our problem? We're Christians, most of us. We have developed no habits. We don't know how to get to the middle stage. So we get the, look at me, we get the theology. We know we're supposed to do something, but we can't put it in practice because you have to put it in practice. You have to decide the times you set aside. And it has to be rhythmic, like your heart beats. You understand? Maybe it's in the morning. Maybe it's at lunch. Maybe it's on coffee break in the morning. You pull aside. You be still. You remember. Freely you have received. You have to acknowledge it. Freely you give. And this is the reason Peter didn't have to say, wait a minute, let me check my notes how I'm supposed to behave. It's part of him. It's the reason Paul said he wasn't even with Jesus, but he had heard this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I've received everything. Now I got to give. James chapter 1. You know the text, by the way. This isn't Peter. This isn't Paul. This is James. And what does James say? Every good gift and every perfect gift is where? From above. Wonder where he would have learned that from. And cometh down from the Father of lights. So he's acknowledging, it's instinctive that you acknowledge the goodness and mercy and gifts that keep coming to you. Two more passages. 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter chapter 1. I don't have time to look at all these. Are you catching a pattern? My friends, you cannot remember everything. Please look at me. You cannot remember everything. Remember things is to attach them to habits. Habits of the heart. To figure out how you're going to root your life. It is a fact that everything you have comes from God. That is a fact. But that may or may not change how you live. Because you have an electrical gap. It isn't getting through because you haven't developed the habits that allow you to acknowledge receiving, which then it becomes instinctive. Freely you have received, freely give. It just flows. Of course. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, talking about this great salvation, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us into glory and virtue. I mean, he's just assuming every single thing you ever need for life and godliness, he has given it to you. One last text, please. 1 John 3, verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16. Talking to my mother this week, which I try to do as much as I can. Mom's almost 90. My wife's mother is now 95. Does it ever come over you if you still have your mother? Mom grew up in the old days. Obviously, only the old people know what I'm talking about. When if a wife didn't, wives didn't work outside the home because it took 18 hours a day to work inside the home. Sometimes it dawns on me, I'm calling, laughing with Mom, and I think to myself, she did everything for us as kids. Everything had to be ironed. Everything had to be washed by hand, or we had a machine, if that's what you call it. Everything had to be hanged out on the line. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be personal. We had no indoor bathroom. So when you're pompous around me, I grew up in a different world. We had no indoor water. You can't comprehend that, most of you. Now, some of you can from third world countries. That was the norm in the country in those days. My wife was there when my mom first got running water. Yes? But it was just cold. She thought she was in heaven because they had to bring that water 30-something miles through the hills to get it to us. Friend, if my mother has done those things for me, what has my God done? But here's our problem. We're so wrapped up in me, in chaos and emotions. I'm all for emotions. Emotions ought to be the proper result of thinking, not being emotional about yourself. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My friend, I am done. Freely you have received. Freely. It's receiving freely. There's got to be a middle part of acknowledging that everything is freely given, and then it's freely give. Received, acknowledged, given. To it's so instinctive that when someone asks of you anything within your ability to do, it's like, well, sure. Because I just received it from the Lord. And I know it, and I'm sharing it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the many examples and more that we didn't look at. Help us this morning not to hear. Hearing won't help. Help us to decide how we're going to make this part of our life, where we're not always thinking about ourselves and our feelings, but we're actually thinking about your grace and goodness, in that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Just keeps on coming, which means we need to keep on acknowledging and keep on sharing. May it be so. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's all stand. We're going to have an offering for our missionary. You all can just sit down up here. That'd be fine. Come forward, gentlemen. Let's everybody else stand, please. We're going to have an offering for the Perkins family this morning. They'll be back tonight, right? And I think your daughter's preaching tonight. She's not sure about that yet. All right. Mike, why don't you lead us in prayer, friend?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. That we do realize that everything we have is from you. And it's such a small portion. But Lord, I just pray that this will be a
soul that truly needs to know you through their language, through their opportunity to hear from you. And Lord, we just ask that you take these gifts and multiply, and may it bring forth